Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
What's up, everybody? What's going on? It's the Servant season one finale. We got Uncle George. He's back, and this time he brought Aunt May with her. And has Sean finally found his faith? And did Dorothy finally wake up? We're going to talk about all that and more when we come back in one quick second.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's going on, everybody? We are back. It is the Servant After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. I am your host, Brandon Hanna, and we have an amazing show for you today. It is the season one finale, and of course, I am joined by two amazing co-hosts, starting to my immediate left with Miss Kate Montgomery. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm Kay Montgomery. I'm doing great.
Did I mispronounce it?
I don't know. I thought I maybe heard of Kate.
My mind's all over the place because we just saw that finale.
I don't know. My head is spinning right now. And of course, we do have Mr. James Maple as well.
Hello, everybody out there in Servant Land. How the heck are ya?
Yes. Super happy to be here. Yeah. Like I said, we got an amazing episode. Uncle George is back and he brought Aunt May with him. What's going on with that? Is she a cult leader? I don't know. Oh, yeah, we do know. It's really, really crazy. It's crazy. And as Sean finally found his faith, he has a bit of a heart-to-heart, as we like to say, with Uncle George.
He did.
And did Dorothy finally wake up? Is she finally aware of what happened to Jericho? The truth. We're going to get to the bottom of it. And, of course, we do have a special segment for you guys. We're bringing back BTS Behind the Servant. We've got some great behind-the-scenes stuff for you guys. James did some great digging this past week. And I think we got some good stuff.
I think so. Yeah.
Before we get into all of that, let's just get into our overall thoughts on this episode. What did you all think?
Oh, man. I really felt like it was satisfying.
Yeah.
Every single solitary question I wanted answered wasn't answered, but I didn't need it to be. I really felt satisfied.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This final episode just left me wanting more. Like, I feel like we got a lot of answers to our questions, but still, there's still many lingering things that I feel like weren't quite, you know, laid out for me enough. But of course, that's why season two is in the works as we speak. So, you know, I definitely left a good taste in my mouth for season two for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I really think
we're talking about food so much. Oh, I'm hungry.
I wasn't. Not after that episode.
Let's just get right into that. Let's just talk about the placenta. What is going on? That's how the episode starts. We have Sean making the placenta into some sort of treat for the baptism, and Kay, you brought up something that, because this show does get into different things that people can do with placenta.
Yeah. So he, what we see is that he makes it into a croquembouche, right? Which I just know from watching cooking shows where they take pâte à choux bread, but he fills it with the placenta. But we were all grossed out. But I was like, hey guys, you know they do all different kinds of stuff with the placenta. There's like a whole arts and crafts like cottage industry.
Had no idea.
One of the interesting things you can do is there's a three-step DIY process to make your placenta into a teddy bear.
Oh, God.
This totally creeped me out. I learned. A friend told me about this, and I was like, that can't be real. And she was like, yes, it is. Google it, placenta bear. And then this bear comes up that doesn't have eyes, that has stitching for eyes. I don't know. It seems terrifying to me.
But I guess
some people think it's adorable.
Not me. That is terrifying. Wow.
Yeah.
Everyone, wow. That's crazy.
Wow.
Oh, wow. We're going to get some people in the comments like, it's adorable and I have four. So
bless y'all hearts. I think that's adorable.
No, I think this is absolutely horrifying. When I first saw this photo, I think the room spun for a second. I got a little queasy, I think.
I was the room spun.
The room spun on me. I didn't know what was going on. Because I thought what Sean was doing was bad, but I don't know.
Oh, it can get worse,
what Sean
apparently.
Was doing was on a whole nother level, though.
Well, that was bad for everyone.
We were like, wait, what is he? What? Every step, we gasped more. We were like, what?
Is he going to go in the... Wow, I can't believe the shocking part to me was that he served that to his guests.
That was
and they had no idea. And if you guys remember, there was one scene where the girl says, oh, this is interesting. He's like, oh, it's liver. It's an old family recipe.
Yeah.
We were like, yeah, real family recipe.
Yeah, that was
what?
A good one.
That
family
was
recipe.
Wild.
Yeah, why would he? I mean, I've heard women eating their own placenta, but I've never heard making it a meal and serving it to everybody unwittingly.
Nope.
I felt like Sean went too far.
I think so, too. I could understand the way this show goes if he had done this after he spoke to George, Uncle George, because George kind of seems to have that effect on people. Mm-hmm. Like, after he spoke with Dorothy, I believe she started wearing the cross. She started praying before meals, and
That's
she was
true.
Acting a little differently. So I'm surprised that this happens before he speaks with George.
Right.
But that conversation he has with George is pretty impactful. Where we see he kind of has this whole character arc where towards the end of the episode, he's kind of regained his faith a little bit.
Wow.
And, yeah, I mean, I don't even know. It's this episode's got me all turned around.
Right.
But, yeah, George and Aunt May are back. And what did you guys think of meeting Aunt May for the first time?
She was everything and more. We were introduced, or I guess we were introduced via just talking about Aunt May in previous episodes. And it was kind of like we knew she was a big deal character because we saw how intense Uncle George and Leanne were when talking about her. Like, don't you dare let Aunt May know what's going on.
Mm.
So it was fulfilling, I think, to finally get a face to the name for me. She runs a tight ship. I think I said that a couple episodes ago, but this is a straight matriarch. She runs that family.
She's a boss.
Yeah.
She's a boss of a cult.
It was cool to kind of get a face to the name. So that's what I thought about Aunt May for sure.
Yeah. I thought Aunt May coming in had some really interesting things to say about, it makes sense that she's a cult leader because she just had some really interesting things to say about who was absolved from what and what kind of people we help. I thought that was really interesting. About how she really kind of outlines it for Leanne and says, listen, they're not the kind of people we help, basically. Like, I get the idea that maybe they thought they were different,
mm-hmm.
you know? And when she explains what Leanne has done, Aunt May is like, oh, no. Mm-mm. They don't deserve this, baby. Wrap it up. I was like, uh-oh. Yeah. Yeah, so I thought that was really interesting. But I felt the same as James. I was like, oh, wow, she's the boss. Like, interesting. Yeah, really, really interesting. Just kind of thread to go all the way back to the beginning and at the end when they're all meeting in that circle. Yeah, it's just pretty wild. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're a cult.
That's a very good point that you brought up, that they seem to be a cult that wants to help people. And I say that in air quotes for us audio-only listeners. But, yeah, she does say we only help certain types of people and these people don't deserve our help. Mm-hmm. They had their chance with their child, and they failed, and it's time for us to move on. And we should help ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I had a thought there, and I kind of lost it. But
I think it's an interesting meditation on religion, really.
Yeah,
because if
certainly.
Because if this show is contrasting believers with non-believers, I think it's interesting. I think some religions do have that line where they say, you know, we help us these certain people mm-hmm. and these certain people we don't.
Yeah.
And if you're looking to be inclusive, you should be helping all people, right? No matter what.
And that's where Leanne tries to go. She tries to argue that they do deserve a second chance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But obviously, May is not having any of it.
Which I think is really interesting, too, right? Like, that's supposed to be the work of religion as well, to be redemptive and restorative and offer people a way back when something has gone wrong. So I think that's interesting, too, because they religion ain't trying to do that.
No, not at all.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
And I do want to get into Sean and George, but before we do that, I just want to thank you guys watching, listening at home for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. We wouldn't be able to do this without you, so please subscribe to this channel on YouTube, give us a positive rating on iTunes, and leave a comment down below. Really want to hear you guys' thoughts on this episode in particular and where you think things are going to go for season 2. And particularly for me, what is going on with Sean? Because he seems like a completely different person. He has this conversation with George where he prays with him. George asked Sean to tell him what he wanted specifically. And
mm-hmm.
we see that for the first time, we really see him get emotional and says that he wants his son back.
Yeah. This was a really, really powerful scene, I think. You know, this entire episode was super powerful, but I think that this scene in particular for me stood out. It was interesting to see, because, you know, we've been watching every episode. It was interesting to see that this character arc that Sean went through. Because if you remember back to the early episodes, we remember specifically Sean was very much against having religion in the house.
Mm-hmm.
He was very quick to shoot it down, very quick to call it out and say, you know, you can practice what you want to practice, but not within my four walls. So it was interesting to see him have a complete 180 in his favorite place in the house, I might add, the wine cellar, with Uncle George. And we saw him really embrace religion and turn to this religion, this cult, whatever you want to call it, to find answers and find closure. And I think that he found it specifically in that moment.
Yeah, definitely. And we see him offer George the money. And George won't accept it.
I don't know why. Because he could have been 80K richer real quick. Like, I was thinking about that. Like, I feel like everything that happened in the episode could have happened, but he could have been 80K richer. Why wouldn't Uncle George take the money? Take that money, honey. Come on. You know what I mean?
I mean, we see despite being a crazy cult, they do have some sort of moral compass and rules that they follow. Which makes them scarier, really. They follow a
That's
set
a
of
good
rules.
Point. They have a set of rules and we don't know,
we don't know what they are.
That's a good, that is a great point, yeah.
For a second, I thought that Sean was going to use that samurai sword.
I was like, it's about to go down in his basement.
But he puts it down instead and goes for the money, which I thought was really interesting. And of course, it leads to this very powerful moment between the two of them.
Yeah.
But then we see the sword resurface again upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you two have a favorite moment happens after this.
It's so silly, you guys. I wonder if anybody else recognized this moment.
I believe so. The way we reacted.
Because we both looked at each other like...
I missed it completely.
We just racked up at it.
So there's a scene right where Sean is sabering the bottle of champagne or wine. And as he does it, the camera is still in that frame. And you see a lady on the left side of the screen. And she just says... All right.
And it picks up the audio. Yeah. Like, okay.
So it was just interesting they chose to leave that in the final cut. Because, you know, they could have cut the audio, cut the scene there. Because you didn't really need it. We needed it. Because we got a good old chuckle for it. And we hope you guys did, too. So that was a funny little levity.
Just showed us that everyone else thinks Sean is extra, too. Not just us.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm scared of you, Sean. But then right after this, we see the cops show up.
Yo!
Listen.
I thought it was about to go down.
So we're all sitting down watching it. I get up and walk to the TV as if that's going to help. I was just like, I have to be so close to this moment. I cannot miss a thing.
Yeah, that was a pretty intense scene.
That was so intense.
That was a nice... chuckle of a twist we could expect from M. Night, of course.
Man, that was
great.
We
were like, this is it. We figured it out. This is it. Wait, there's more minutes left. There's more things happening. And we realized soon enough the cops weren't there just for Dorothy. They were there for another reason. But yeah, we were definitely thrown for a loop. We were like, oh, the cops are coming. It's about to go down.
Well, so here's my question. Where I was, and I love Dorothy as much as the next person. I think I have a lot of empathy for Dorothy.
Mm-hmm.
But... they all stole somebody's baby, right?
Yeah.
Or the baby's resurrected. Either way you want it. So if they stole somebody's baby, justice must be served. So when the cops came in, I was kind of like, yes, somebody's about to get busted for this. Probably part of that was we were going to figure out, you know, if this is really Jericho. Were you guys relieved in that way? Or were you just like, something's about to go down? Or were you like, somebody's about to get punished? Like, what was your excitement in that moment?
I was there for the tea. I thought something was about to go down. I thought in my head, I thought that Aunt May and Uncle George were like, oh, Leanne, you want to come with us? We got you covered.
Mm-hmm.
And they called the police because they were kind of lingering around the house at that time.
Yeah.
So I was under the impression initially that it was Aunt May and Uncle George who had called the cops to have like a greater authority to come in and be like, you know what? We got a tip. We got your name. Turn around and put your hands behind your back. But, you know, of course that didn't happen. So that was how I internalized that scene. Yeah.
Yeah, I was almost disappointed that it ended the way that it did. I really thought
that's
exactly what you said was going to transpire. But it didn't. Instead, we had this little girl here with her doll that I thought was going to come to life. I swear at one point I thought this doll was going to come to life.
I was hoping it was too.
But this kind of sets things in motion for Dorothy where we start to see her remember a little bit. You know, she goes by the crib at one point and she kind of has this flashback of someone coming in a hazmat suit and taking the real baby Jericho's dead body, remains. Presumably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remains, perfect way to put it, out of the crib. And we kind of see this evolution towards the end of the episode where mm-hmm. I really believe that Dorothy has finally woken up, as Natalie keeps saying, that she's going to wake up, she's going to wake yeah. up, and she's mm-hmm. going to blame us for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that moment has finally come. What are your thoughts on this? How do you think Dorothy's going to react?
I think that Dorothy is going to hopefully realize that the reality she's been living is not the true reality. In that moment, I feel like that was the first time I think that we had seen in a very long time Dorothy with a doll. So that was a really, really impacting moment for me. So yeah, that's what I kind of what I took away from it.
Yeah. I thought it was really interesting too how when the little girl came in and she was holding the baby, she flashed back to being on the steps and just kind of catatonic yeah, with Baby Jericho as well.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually reading a little bit about denial, especially when it comes to death this week. And, you know, Kubler-Ross has done this whole thing about the stages of grief and denial is one of the stages. And, you know, the common thinking now is that people go back and forth on stages. You know, you don't go chronologically through. But I think that she's probably just going to be in a state of disbelief for a certain number of days. And then she's just going to have to deal with it like everybody else has to deal with it. I mean, I think we all were like, when she picked up the baby, if she was going to be like, Jericho, but when his head flops back, yeah. you know, you kind of go, uh-oh,
right.
and then she just drops him. So it's going to be interesting next season to see, because I think she's realized it. And now it's going to be her, Sean, and Julian kind of getting on the same page and being like, well, listen, we don't have Jericho, but we're going to get this baby. You know, this right. baby's our baby. Because they all seem to be very privileged, very entitled. And I think that she's formed an attachment to the new baby, and they're going to move heaven and earth to try and get that baby back.
Yeah, that moment for me in particular.
But she knows.
Yeah, where yeah. she picks up the reborn doll at the end, she has this look on her face mm. where I think you can really tell that she has finally become aware. And you also brought up that scene with her and the little girl and the other doll, little girl's doll on the mm-hmm. stairs, which is where I thought that other doll might have like just start crying.
Yeah.
But I thought that was a really impactful scene. And that was really where we started to see Dorothy start to realize mm-hmm. that something was off. And even later on where we kind of have this whole 180 where Dorothy and Sean are looking at Baby Jericho in the crib, and Dorothy is now in disbelief that this baby is here, and she says, I can't believe that I made something so beautiful, and Sean is there to say, oh, this is our baby. Like, Sean really believes through the power of faith, through the power of prayer, that mm-hmm. this baby is really his son,
right.
truly
Which is
his
Sean.
Son.
Such yeah. a leap, like you said,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm. Brought back to life. And I thought that was a really interesting dynamic, seeing both of them make complete 180s from the first episode to the last episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's time to get into our special segment for this week. We're bringing back BTS, Behind the Servants, and I think James has some really cool stuff for us.
I do. I've got some pretty interesting things that I've discovered the past couple days. So before I go into the Behind the Servants, the BTS... There's gotta and kind of invite you into the logic of my thinking because it's kind of linear. You gotta hear me out. So obviously we've been doing this show for weeks now, and I don't know. Since I've been doing the show, have you guys also been like very observant about your surroundings? I feel like I'm like looking at everything and kind of taking in everything just to make sure I know what's going on. Because like they say, you doubt what you believe and believe what you doubt.
Yeah.
So. We live in Los Angeles. We film the show in Los Angeles. And everywhere in the city, there's always a little note that says, like, there's going to be filming in this part of town. And, you know, so there happened to be one outside of my apartment a couple days ago. So, you know, I really didn't think anything of it. So then I got to thinking, because we were talking about Philadelphia last week for so long, if there was ever one for that street where Servant was filmed. So, I actually found a tweet from Miss Lindsay Kuo. We may be able to bring that up. And it says, yes, this definitely is minimal impact to residents of the neighborhood. My toddler especially will not mind the nighttime filming with exterior lights. Thanks, M. Night Shyamalan. And would you believe the name of the production company? Uncle George Productions. The name of the production company is Uncle George Productions. That. How insane is that?
I love that.
Okay, so I'm like, wow, this is insane. So if you guys can see the image that I'm seeing, this young lady, Lindsay, she actually posts the letter that says, you know, Uncle George Productions, LLC. So I'm looking at the letter and able to zoom in a little bit. And as I'm reading the first line of the letter, it says, Uncle George Production, LLC, is currently in production of the television show Crumpet. So I'm like, Crumpet? What the heck is Crumpet? So, you know, we're going back and forth, going back and forth. And I actually go into the subtweet of this young lady, Lindsay, and she calls out M. Night Shyamalan again, because apparently this is like a little thing that she's upset with in her neighborhood. So in her subtweet, she says, hey, M. Night Shyamalan and GPFO. GPFO is a Twitter account for Greater Philadelphia Film Office. She says, just thought you should know the signs are actually incorrect, incomplete, you know, blah, 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 blah. So apparently this has been happening for weeks and weeks and weeks. She says this is the third time in the last 4 weeks that she's had to, you know, had issues with the lighting because of her son and everything like that. So I thought that was like super interesting. So of course, I'd turn to our lovely subreddit to get some more details, because to me what stood out was the little spat, but also, what you mean crumpet? Like, that doesn't make any sense. So I go on subreddit and I see a post from a user named Alls Hunter, and he says, oh yeah, Crumpet was an alias they used while filming. Would also keep an eye out for casting announcements. Found a lot of them while they were filming. There's one out there for season 2 for newborn babies. Production starts January 8th and lasts until late April. So that's super interesting, because we now know they are indeed filming. At this very moment in time, they are currently filming for season 2, and wow, they have new babies already. So that was super interesting. And, you know, as I kept looking, I started to think of, like, I wonder if we can find any casting notices, because, you know, the guy said that and kind of sparked some thoughts. So I actually found a casting notice that is from December 10th, 2018, from Heary Loftus Casting. Casting of all things, looking for pageant girls for the M. Night Shyamalan new project called Crumpet. I'm like, yo, it's official. Like, the initial, the name, because, you know, you can be reading anything on Reddit, and, you know, you can't believe those people at the time. So, it's legit. Heary Loftus Casting put out an advert for pageant girls for this M. Night Shyamalan show called Crumpet. And now we know, because we've seen the entire first season, that scene where Dorothy goes to look at her tapes and she sees all the pageant girls, and we see a young Leanne. Okay, so then I'm like, all right, let's dig a little bit deeper into this whole Crumpet thing. Like, it don't make no sense to me. So in case anybody didn't know, there was obviously a lot of pre-production going on for Servant. Now, in my digging around Instagram, I was able to come across an account. And the account is actually did a posting where they did some pre-production stuff for Servant / Crumpet. And I think we'll be able to play that for you guys now on this Instagram account. And we'll go ahead and get that started right away. So Picture Mill is the company. So these are all like the test intro that they were pitching to M. Night Shyamalan. And you can actually see in here as well, Servant, Crumpet, Crumpet, Crumpet.
Mm-hmm.
So the name Crumpet lasted so long up until them pitching intros for the show. Now, personally, in watching this, I was I like the original. I like the one that they chose myself a little bit better. Because this one, the Picture Mill one, it added a little bit more like American Horror Story kind of vibe to it, which I wasn't really feeling. Yeah. So I thought that was like super interesting, which made me delve even deeper into this whole Crumpet thing. I'm like, okay, like Reddit is saying it, you got casting director saying it, you got these, you know, pre-production companies making intros for it. So like, what is a crumpet? Like, well, I think we all have a basic understanding of what a crumpet is, right? So a crumpet is a small griddle cake often eaten in the UK. I'm like, okay, you know, a lot of the cast is from the UK. A lot of the cast is British. Mm-hmm. Okay, I get it. So then I looked at another description of what a crumpet is. A crumpet, crumpets are cooked only on one side, so the bottom is flat, while the top is speckled with holes so it can, like, absorb butter and jam. I keep reading the description, and it says, crumpets are served a whole with jam and butter spread on the top. Okay, now this is the line of the description that really got me. It says, as long as it's served as a vehicle for melted butter and jam. Now, hear me out. This is a bit of a stretch. I kind of feel like he had the alias of crumpet because it's this tiny little British thing that goes on a griddle. The baby was in the car, in a very hot car. And it's a tiny little British thing in a hot car. I know it's kind of morbid, but that's the only thing I can think of to find out why they chose crumpet as an alias for the show. I thought that was pretty, pretty interesting. So that's going to conclude like my whole behind the servants. What do you guys think about that?
Right? I mean, that was...
I needed that.
I felt like the entire time when I was researching that, I felt like Charlie Day when he was
doing
it. I was like...
It was yeah. Beautiful Mind. Yeah. I mean, with strings everywhere in his basement. It's in his apartment right now. There's a bunch of strings.
That was some Roscoe-level detective work.
I tried, man.
Roscoe-level.
I thought that was so interesting. Roscoe. Who is Pepe Sylvia? That's what I was thinking as I was putting this together. So yeah, do you guys have any...
That's great. He threw it
yeah,
out.
Yeah, Who is Pepe Sylvia?
I love it.
So I was thinking, what do you guys think? Is crumpet stand out to you for any particular reason? Like, why did they choose that of all things? What do you guys think?
I mean, I can't think of anything better than what you came up with.
Yeah.
It kind of almost sounds like servant.
Right.
Ends in a T, same number of syllables.
Servant, crumpet, right? I thought that was super interesting and really, I know it's a little morbid to think that they would have chosen that, but that's the only reason, that's the only explanation I can come up with in terms of why they would have chosen the alias of crumpet. And then change it to servant.
I don't know, but I feel like they made the better choice, right?
Oh,
servant
for sure.
Is awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
I think what stood out to me specifically with servant is servant a lot of times is a biblical term, and a lot of times used in the Bible, a servant, like a servant of God. But in the show, Aunt May says to her when they're having their little talk in the nursery, you're our servant, not theirs.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really interesting. Because I thought Aunt May and Uncle George, I thought it was more like a family, but it's like, it's not quite. They consider her to be a servant within the cult.
Yeah, and we also did get confirmation that they faked Leanne's death. So she is the real Leanne Grayson.
Right.
She didn't steal an identity.
Mm-hmm.
And that they brought her to Pennsylvania, I believe they said, to raise her separately. So that was another big revelation that I almost forgot about. So I thank you for reminding me.
Yeah,
it's interesting. But that's sad. They raised her, but they consider her servant.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, this crazy cult situation. And I do want to just go back to that title sequence that you showed us. Yeah, like that does seem like it was meant for a different network almost.
Right.
I do much prefer the one that we ended up with.
Right.
It almost felt like I was watching the intro to Walking Dead.
Right.
It was like way too high energy.
It's a lot going on. Yeah, I feel like if I were to have watched this trailer or any kind of variation of it, it wouldn't have set the tone for the show. I think the one that they went with, the one that we see every time we watch the show, definitely has that darker, more ominous feel to it, and it lends to, I think, like the vibe of the show. I think this was a little too like high energy. Like,
yeah, it's kind of manic.
Yeah, like look, things are coming, jump, you're scared. Yeah. It's like whoa,
and
too
Scary
much.
Jerry's got to be the focus.
You
know what I mean?
We call him
I think
Scary
it's
Jerry
brilliant.
From now on. I love that.
I think it's brilliant how he's swinging in his swing and he's kind of fuzzy and he comes in and out of focus. Yeah, I think it's something really special in making him the central focus.
Yeah.
I was even thinking about last episode and. At the end of last episode, looking forward to the finale, there were so many things I wasn't worried about anymore. I wasn't necessarily worried about where Leanne was from or da da da. I was just like, okay, so we got to figure out what's going on with the baby and what's happening and where, you know, did he come from and if they're going to try and take him away. It was so interesting that for me, I normally need everything sewn up. And in this situation, it's not necessarily, you know, we definitely know we're moving forward on a season two. But I felt really satisfied with the way, I guess, the kind of cliffhanger we got. How did you guys feel about the
I love when you said sewn ending. Up. I thought about that placenta burger.
You know
what? Like, literally the first thing came to mind was placenta bear.
Yeah.
Oh, no,
sewed
you?
Up, sewed up, sewed up.
Well, I'm not.
I don't want to think about it anymore.
There it is.
No, no. Oh, well, I do think this is a perfect time to get into our predictions. Ooh. Speculation for season 2.
Oh, wow.
Man.
Oh, no.
So, we're left off. We know now that Aunt May and Uncle George are the leaders of this cult. We've seen the cult, and Leanne goes with them. I personally think next season we are going to see Dorothy and Sean and Julian get together and go after Leanne. They're going to try to bring her back home. They want that baby back because I think that baby is with Leanne in the suitcase, just like Julian predicted very early on. I don't think it's a whole supernatural thing anymore. I'm trying to convince myself that everything we see is real. I think there's a logical explanation for everything happening in this show. I just don't know what it is yet. Do you have any different ideas for what we're going to see in season 2?
I think that for me, season 2 prediction, I got a sense that for the entire first season, we were very much in one place. We were in the house. And I think that was great to set the tone for the show. So this is why I'm going to kind of piggyback on what you said. I definitely think they're going to take the show and make it a bit more mobile. I think they perhaps will go back to Wisconsin, maybe to that Wilmington place they mentioned in this episode, and really dig deep and try to find Leanne and figure out this whole cult situation. So I definitely predict that the show will hopefully be a bit more travel-y, if you will, and really kind of do some investigating to figure out what the current situation is now with Leanne and where this baby is.
I think, M. Night has a propensity for filming in Philadelphia. I think he's going to be in the woods of Pennsylvania. I think this cult is self-sufficient. I don't think they need that $80,000. I think they probably got a lot of grain stored out in the middle of some woods. Yeah. So I think they're out in the middle of some woods, and they're self-sufficient, and they're living and thriving, and there are just like a bunch of babies there. And I think that they're going to be hunting them down, this crew of Julian and Dorothy and Sean. And I think they're going to find them pretty early on, and it's going to be a little bit of a face-off. But I think since Sean has found a little bit of faith, I feel like Sean is going to be like, let's just join the cult.
Wow.
Yeah, I feel like Sean is going to be willing to give it all up. Because listen, this is what he's been doing. This is what he's been doing thus far. I think that there's been a test of sorts to see how much he wants baby Jericho. He's done the splinters. He's had to give up his taste. He's giving up some feeling we've noticed right in his hand and all this kind of stuff. He's kind of done a prayer and confession to Uncle George. And I think it's going to be a whole new Sean. And we're going to be like, who is this guy and what is happening? And he didn't even seem like he cared about Jericho before. But I think he's going to be ready to give it all up. Because I think what we haven't explored is his grief, right, as the father. And I think that happens a lot of times when you have people that lose children. We normally focus on the mother. So I think it's going to be interesting to do a kind of a meditation on father's grief in season 2. I think it's going to be all about Sean, and I think he's really going to transform as a character, and he's going to take up faith and religion, and we're going to see it manifest in a way that we are going to be shocked by.
Yeah, wow.
Well, damn, that's great. I'm on your team now.
Especially when he says, the moment when he says to Uncle George, I'm not broken, because Uncle George says, what is it? Yeah. What is it? And he says, I'm not broken, but you know he is. He had his son die. He is broken.
Yeah, and where we leave Sean off, we see him just holding his hand over the stove, and that's it. We don't know what happened after that. You can kind of see his hand start to get black. It's burning. It's not. Oh, I could hardly watch it. I don't know. I think I think you might be onto something. I think you might want to join that cult now. That's
I know. I never really thought about that, but
why not? He could cook for a large group of people. He loves to do that.
Oh, you're so good
at
this.
They probably got all kind of weird animals on it. No, I'm just
all kind of weird placenta.
They'll eat whatever. I know, placenta for days.
I think we're going to see a tonal shift in the show next season. Yeah. I think it's going to be maybe a little faster pace, a little it's going to be a different type of show, I think, where they're going to kind of go after this cult, and I don't necessarily know what direction it's going to go in, but I do like it when shows kind of mix things up season to season like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'm super excited. Do you have any more thoughts? I mean, that was a pretty
pretty good one. How can you top that?
I don't know if James could top it. Top it, James.
I don't know. I don't know. I can't really think of anything else. That threw me for a loop, but I can definitely see Sean joining that cult. Like you said, you know, like I mentioned earlier, we saw Sean go from this like anti-religion person, and the one thing that really was like salvation to him, and we keep, you know, we go back to that scene in the wine cellar, was his exchange with Uncle George. So the realm of possibility for Sean to be interested in something that, you know, made him have this catharsis could very well be that cult. So I think Kay might be on to something.
Yeah, and I think that because Uncle George says what is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable, or, you know, lives forever or whatever. So what is sown, I take it to be what you created. Mm-hmm. And then what is raised is a cricket, a dog, whatever Leanne is raising. I won't say, I'm not 100% convinced that it's not supernatural. Because we were talking and I was saying, I'm a pretty religious person. And I think a lot of people consider religion to be kind of supernatural. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I can't say that Scary Jerry isn't the original who was resurrected. I'm just going to leave that there.
Hoo-wee!
Yeah, like I said, I like to think there's a logical explanation for everything. The one thing I can't explain was that dog coming back to life a couple episodes ago. Mm. What was going on there?
What was going on there? Especially since remember when he fed Leanne that dog food? Mm-hmm. Remember a few weeks ago? Because people were like, is the dog Leanne? Is the dog the uncle? Who's the dog?
I feel like we've been given a lot of red herrings like that.
Yeah.
A lot of red herrings. That and then
one thing we missed that episode was the open door and Wanda
that was going to say the
walking
exact same
by
thing.
Toby. Yeah, I'm 100% convinced now that Wanda took the baby when Julian was out of the house.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I think it's a real baby. I don't think it's the doll come to life, especially because of that little detail.
Yeah.
So I don't know what we're in store for next season.
No idea.
But I'm really excited for it. But I think that just about does it. Unless you guys have any more closing thoughts.
I mean, I'm super excited for season two, and, you know, I hope that we get all the answers to the questions that we've had. So, M. Night, please, please come through on season two, homie. I wonder, great job.
I wonder if he's coming back to direct. That would be something interesting. Yeah. I wonder if he's going to be, because you can kind of see his hand in directing.
Oh, absolutely.
Can you guys see?
100%. Like, there's obviously other writers and directors and producers on this show, but you can really feel M. Night's footprint. Mm-hmm. And he has directed a couple episodes, and I think he's a producer that's very heavily involved.
I think so.
And I think this show's, in my opinion, has been a real success for him, and I can't wait to see what is in store next.
Yeah, absolutely. Special shout out to Tony. Is it Tony Baskaloop that does the writing for this show? That's just been amazing.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the story. Incredible. Yeah, I heard him talking about the story, how he said M. Night never likes to do other people's stories, so he kind of sent it to him, and then he got something immediately back the next morning, and it was just the subject WTF. And he was like, I guess he likes it. But the story is some really good character writing and good twisty turny and keep us guessing and on the edge of our seats.
I love that his response is
so
M. Night Shyamalan. Like, WTF could mean anything. Like, I hate it. I love it. What do you mean? He's like, that's my style. That's my style.
Yeah, props to just everybody involved in making this show.
For sure.
I'm so happy we were able to cover it this season.
It's great.
And I can't wait to be back to cover next season.
Yes, yes.
It's going to be a crazy ride. So thank you very much for joining us on the Servant After Show here on AfterBuzz TV.
Yay.
Where can people find you, Kay, not Kate, and James?
You know, Brandon. You can find me at HostKay, HostKay, on Instagram and on Twitter.
And you can find your boy James Maple on Instagram and Twitter at Terrell James Maple, TerrellJamesMaple.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at BrandonHannah07. Thank you so much for joining us, and I can't wait to see you in season 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Peace.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.